Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, August 9th, 2023. Section A. Nation's Fentanyl Crisis Affecting Permian Basin by Mella McEwen. The Permian Basin has not been immune to the fentanyl crisis affecting the state and the nation. The Permian Basin has a huge problem, said Serena Watts, Trauma Outreach and Injury Prevention Coordinator at Medical Center Health System in Odessa. Addressing members of the STEPS Safety Network meeting, Service Transmission Exploration and Production at Midland College, Carrasco Room, Tuesday, she noted fentanyl, a synthetic opioid, is used in pain management. But it also has illicit uses and is extremely dangerous and fast-acting because in its liquid form can be used in nasal sprays, eye drops, or dropped onto paper like little candies. And in powdered form, mixed with other drugs like heroin, cocaine, or methamphetamine. The powdered form can also be mixed with other pills like oxycodone, Xanax, or Percocet. She cited statistics from Odessa Fire and Rescue that in 2022, OFR treated 12 overdoses in patients 17 to 29, 122 in patients 30 to 45, 73 in patients 46 to 59, 68 in patients 60 to 75, 56 in patients 11 to 16, and 43 in patients 75 and older. There were even 6 overdoses in infants below the age of 1. It's not just high school kids, it's all ages, she said. Don Hallmark, who lost his son Zane to an overdose in 2021, told the audience his son was 16 when he first tried drugs at a party where cocaine was present. He was hooked forever. He couldn't quit, Hallmark said. Despite multiple stints in jail and rehabilitation programs, including Teen Challenge, which he said changed his son's life, Zane decided to try one more time and died at age 36. He was found by his 10-year-old son. Hallmark sports a tattoo that reads, "The addict may use, but the whole family suffers." Find solutions. Try different rehabilitation programs, Watts urged. She added that addicts can receive support not just from their families, but from their employers. If you think you're saving your kids by not discussing fentanyl, you're not, she said. The Permian Basin has a number of rural communities far from Midland and Odessa hospitals, she noted. That's why it's important to be prepared by having naloxone, more familiarly known as Narcan, available to reverse the overdose. Because fentanyl is becoming so strong, we're seeing a need for multiple doses of Narcan, she said. In the event of an overdose, she recommends call 911. Place the person in the recovery position, on their side with their arm under their head and leg bent to prevent them from rolling over onto their stomach. Stay with the person and reassure them. Midland filmmaker explores male friendships in new film. By Morgan Taylor Thomas. Since childhood, Jack Smith, known professionally as Jack Hamilton, knew he wanted to be a movie producer, director, and writer. Throughout middle school and during his tenure at Midland High, Smith furthered his passion for artistic creation by participating in Pickwick Players, Midland Community Theater's educational program, where he performed and was mentored under director Bill Williams. Growing up in West Texas, if you didn't do sports, it could alienate you pretty easily, Smith explained. I found out that pretty much everybody I knew had a favorite movie, so it was the easiest way to connect with other people. My older brother, who'd played for Midland High, my dad, who'd grown up playing football. During his junior year of high school, Smith found himself not only joining a lacrosse team, but also being introduced to locker room talk. The cultural shock he experienced stayed with him through his time as a film student at Texas State, and ultimately served as the inspiration for his latest short film, What Up, Dog? It was a goal of mine to try and write a script about toxic masculinity, and I don't know if I necessarily accomplished that with this one, but what I learned and realized while writing this script is that I don't blame guys for the way that they are. I think we are a product of our environment. We continue to perpetuate these concepts of what it means to be a man, to not ask for help, not take care of your mental health, lack emotional intelligence. If you can't change the culture around them, they will continue to be these people, Smith admitted. Filming for What Up, Dog?, a self-reflecting look into the complexities of the male dynamic, began July 23rd at a friend's ranch in the Hill Country. 7 days later, the process concluded, calling cut on the visionary's third directorial role. Hoping to produce a culturally relevant piece, Smith materialized the connections of his own relationships and pulled the curtain back in order to show the inner works of a male friendship. Less than 20 people made up the entire team, lighting, sound, camera, actors, ultimately allowing the film to adapt a relatable and contemplative viewpoint. It was honestly probably the most intense thing I've ever done, because from the moment I got there to the moment I left, I was on. I haven't had like that revelation moment yet where I'm like, okay, you did it. Take a deep breath and enjoy your moment, since the job's not done yet, Smith said. It was easily, though, one of the most unforgettable experiences filming I've had. Although he's currently working on edits and doesn't plan to have a rough cut until September, Smith hopes to enter the film into festivals and competitions. If he's successful, he could add titles to his already award-winning resume. Satellite Imaging to Help City Detect Water Leaks by Stuart Doreen. The City of Midland spends $2.5 million a year to bring water to Midland. On Tuesday, the Midland City Council approved a contract that will help make sure more of that water reaches the city and its customers. City leaders approved $212,000 in costs with Astera of La Jolla, California, and that Astera will perform satellite water leak detection for the City of Midland Utilities Department. The program will find leaks underground from city pipelines and on the customer side, Utilities Director Carl Crago told the council Tuesday. He said there will be two scans, 5 months apart. This project aims to leverage advanced satellite imaging technology to identify and address water leakages within the city's water distribution network, ultimately reducing water loss and optimizing resource utilization, Crago wrote in a city document. by utilizing high-resolution satellite imagery and advanced data analytics. The project aims to provide accurate and real-time information on water leakages, enabling prompt repairs and substantial water conservation. Project benefits would include water conservation. Early detection of water leaks will enable swift remedial action, significantly reducing water loss and associated costs. Cost efficiency. By addressing leaks proactively, the City of Midland can minimize maintenance expenses, operational inefficiencies, and potential infrastructure damage caused by undetected leaks. Improved service. Timely repairs and preventive maintenance will enhance the reliability and efficiency of the water distribution system, ensuring uninterrupted service to the community. Environmental impact. By conserving water resources, the project aligns with sustainable practices and contributes to the city's environmental stewardship goals. Data-driven insights. The project will provide valuable data and insights into the water distribution system, aiding in long-term planning, infrastructure improvements, and leak prevention strategies. The Midland City Council packet includes information that states Astera provides customers with leak detection monitoring for drinking and wastewater systems utilizing synthetic aperture radar, SAR, signals from satellites to illuminate the area of interest and collect the resulting reflected signals. These signals are analyzed with the Astera patented algorithm and processed to identify specific indicators of wet soil saturated with potable or wastewater, screening out the signal noise and other interference, a report stated. The result is a map showing likely leak locations or points of interest. Crago previously told the Reporter Telegram, City of Midland water customers are, on average, using 30 million gallons of water a day in 2023. He added that the average is around 34 million gallons of water a day during the summer, with the increase because of lawn watering taking place. Water use has peaked at more than 40 million gallons this summer. MISD makes move to phonics for 2023-24 school year. By Stuart Doreen. Only 56% of third graders were reading at grade level during the 2022-23 school year, according to Midland ISD. That is why this school year, which starts Wednesday, reading language arts curricula will add a phonics-based approach, according to the district. Midland ISD reported in a news release that the phonics-based approach replaces the whole language approach, a method districts across the nation for years have implemented, but that now is being abandoned en masse for an approach rooted in the science of teaching reading. Recent research has shown phonics is a more effective way to teach young children to read. In the 2022-23 school year, only 56% of third graders were reading at grade level, according to NWEA MAP data. It's unacceptable, and we must act with a sense of urgency to provide a better learning experience for our students, Associate Superintendent Ashley Osborne said in the press release. Osborne is a half year into her new role at MISD and championing the shift in literacy instruction along with other district and campus leaders as well as teachers, MISD reported. For us, there's no debate. Students deserve the best instruction possible. And when it comes to reading instruction, particularly for our youngest learners, phonics is the most effective method according to the vast body of research available, Osborne said. Reading instruction isn't just for the youngest students, Midland ISD reported. MISD stated it used a structured literacy approach, which will see a consistent reading curriculum across all classrooms in the district, has been built from the ground up to teach reading to students in kindergarten through ninth grade. Older students who were taught via the whole language method are included in the phonics curriculum, said Andrea Messick, Executive Director of Teaching and Learning. That's why we're implementing a suite of methods that teaches children phonics from the outset and catches any students who didn't have phonics in their primary years. MISD reported its main reading curriculum resource will be Amplify Texas, which is approved by the Texas Education Agency as a high-quality instructional material that is designed to meet 100% of the Texas essential knowledge and skills. Amplify Texas was used as a pilot program at Alamo Junior High and several elementary schools in the 2022-23 school year. I was very impressed by the results I saw in our 7th and 8th graders, said Claudia Valenzuela, who served as principal at Alamo last year and is currently the director of teaching and learning for the district. As someone who was taught the whole language model as a child, Valenzuela said she is thrilled that MISD is moving to phonics. Plain and simple, it's just more effective, and our kids deserve the best, she said. A trio of supplemental resources from curriculum associates will be used alongside Amplify Texas to fill the gaps. Magnetic Reading Foundations will assist students in kindergarten through second grade. Third through sixth grade students will use Phonics for Reading, which is targeted specifically for this age group. The net is even wider with personalized instruction from iReady. All students from kindergarten through ninth grade will use this resource, which provides an individualized pathway to meet students' needs. Additionally, teachers will have access to small group lessons specifically designed with student skill gaps in mind. The district reported the changes in the programs also happened after district leadership had conversations with teachers who made clear their struggles wrought by not having a consistent district-wide reading curriculum, which ultimately has negatively affected students' reading success. As a system, we needed to do a better job, Osborne said. We listened to teachers, and we're acting to make sure that they are receiving the support and materials they need so that our students can excel. All educators involved in reading instruction are receiving professional development on the new curriculum and the tools MISD will use to raise student literacy levels. Plus, MISD now has two dedicated coordinators with whom teachers can consult when they have questions, need help, or want to share their ideas and experiences. K-POT finally open after 11-month renovation, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. K-POT Korean Barbecue and Hot Pot has finally opened its doors to Midlanders. News about the chain came to Midland last September during a Planning and Zoning Commissioners meeting. The restaurant offers a hands-on, all-you-can-eat dining experience that combines traditional hot pot when a heat source is placed on the table in order to keep a pot of soup stock simmering, and Korean barbecue, a method of grilling meat on a gas charcoal grill located on the dining table. According to community members who dined during the soft opening last night, the price to eat is $30 a person, and you have 90 minutes. Guests order food and drinks from their table's iPad, which also has a timer on it. Operating hours run 11:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday. The restaurant is located at 3116 North Loop 250 West, Suite 300. Facebook.com/KPOT Midland. MISD to meet about potential $1.6 billion bond by Stuart Doreen. The Midland ISD School Board is scheduled to meet at 5:30 p.m. Thursday at Bunch Elementary. The task at hand will be a discussion of the recommendation from the MISD Bond Planning Committee put together by Superintendent Stephanie Howard and Next Steps. MISD has previously reported that August 21st is the last day to call a bond election. The school board is scheduled to have its regular monthly meeting August 15th. It is expected that if this Thursday's meeting goes as expected, that district leaders will call for a November 7th election on August 15th. The Bond Planning Committee recommended a two-proposition referendum for November. Proposition A includes the building of two new 4,200-seat high schools, renovations to campuses that would become middle schools, and safety, security, and accessibility measures. The total cost for Proposition A is $1.37 billion. Proposition B includes deferred maintenance and work to aging campuses across Midland and the construction of an elementary school in Northeast Midland. The cost impact of Proposition B is $317.2 million. MISD states that the tax impact for the owner of an average home valued at $341,000 is $444 additional a year. The total bond debt to the district, principal and interest, if approved by voters, could top $3.47 billion. If approved in its entirety, the Midland ISD bond referendum will mark the fifth largest amount ever approved for a school district in Texas history, according to statistics provided by Midland ISD. Sheriff David Kreiner to run for re-election by Ben Schaefer. Midland County Sheriff David Kreiner will run for re-election, he confirmed Tuesday. Prior to being sworn in as Midland County's sheriff April 1st, 2020, Kreiner served as constable for Precinct 1 for 7 years. In addition, Kreiner served with the Texas Department of Public Safety for 26 years. He began his law enforcement career as a deputy sheriff in Midland County. Former Midland Deputy Chief Rory McKinney announced his candidacy on Facebook Saturday. In 2020, Kreiner and McKinney ran against one another in the Republican primary. Kreiner won with 51.6% of the vote in a four-person race to McKinney's 33.9%. Both are running in the Republican primary, which is set for March 5th, 2024. The general election will take place November 5th, 2024. PNC approves zoning for tract along State Highway 191 and 158 by Mella McEwen. Commercial development along the State Highway 158, State Highway 191 corridor moved a step further after Monday's meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. commissioners unanimously approved a request by Maverick Engineering for an initial zoning of RR, regional retail, on a 0.448 acre tract of land and a 6.292 acre tract of land located along the west side of Highway 158, northwest of Highway 191. The acreage is located near the planned entertainment retail complex that will include a Bass Pro Shop. The site is currently being in the process of being annexed into city limits and is being platted. The initial zoning will advance incorporation of the tract into city limits. Andrew Mellon with Maverick Engineering said the decision means zoning will be consistent with this tract and with the site being developed as the entertainment retail complex. The request now goes to City Council for final approval. PNC commissioners also approved a request by Newton Engineering for a proposed final plat of Berkshire Place, a residential replat of two lots at North N and Gulf to create a single lot for housing construction. By a 2-2 vote, commissioners denied a request by Schumann Surveying for a zone change from C, commercial district, to SF3, single-family dwelling district. Schumann also applied to preliminarily plat the property into two single-family home lots and for an exception to allow the corner lot with a minimum lot width of 50 feet instead of the required 55 feet. This request was denied. National Weather Service says Midland's 100-degree streak extended to 6 days by Stuart Doreen. Midland received a break from the 105-degree heat, but it extended its 100-degree streak to 6 days. The National Weather Service reported a high temperature of 100 degrees Tuesday, which was 4 degrees cooler than the expected high and 6 degrees less than the high temperature Monday. NWS expects a return to temperatures at least 10 degrees above average for this time of year. The forecast calls for a high of 107 degrees Wednesday and 106 on Thursday. Triple-digit high temperatures are expected through August 15th, which would extend the streak of 100-degree heat to 13 days. There is a 10% chance of showers Wednesday. Tuesday's report. Tuesday's high, 100. Typical high for August 8th, 96. Tuesday's low, 76. Typical low for August 8th, 73. Record high for August 8th, 105 degrees in 2011. Consecutive 100 degree days, 6. Last 3 days. Sunday, 106. Monday, 106. A record. Tuesday, 100. Next 3 days. Wednesday, 107. Thursday, 106. Friday, 105. MCSO Charge Woman in the Death of Toddler by Mercedes Cordero. A 34-year-old woman has been charged in connection to the death of a 3-year-old in Midland County, according to court documents. Amanda Nicole Ward was arrested Friday for criminally negligent homicide, a state felony. She was released Saturday on bond, according to Midland County jail records. On March 23rd at about 5:29 p.m., Midland County Sheriff's Office, MCSO, deputies were dispatched in reference to a 2-year-old who was not breathing and unresponsive. The toddler was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased. An autopsy was requested, according to the arrest affidavit. According to the arrest affidavit, MCSO deputies spoke with a Midland Volunteer Fire Department member who responded to the scene. He stated that when he arrived at the scene, he saw the toddler on the floor of the RV camper and saw Ward performing CPR. He stated from his experience, the toddler appeared to be deceased. The volunteer firefighter stated that he asked Ward what had happened, and she told him she took a nap around 1 or 2 p.m. and woke around 5 p.m. She stated that when she woke up, she noticed her son was missing. She stated she searched for him in the RV camper but didn't locate him. She then got into her car and looked in the back seat of the car and saw the toddler on the floorboard, unresponsive, according to the arrest affidavit. The volunteer firefighter described Ward as being in a daze and appeared to be under the influence of an unknown substance. According to the affidavit, during the investigation, MCSO learned that Ward had several cases with the Texas Department of Family Protective Services for neglectful supervision. On March 24th, MCSO investigators obtained a search warrant to collect a blood sample from Ward. She admitted to investigators that she had ingested methamphetamine, meth, earlier, so she was going to show positive for meth, according to the affidavit. On June 28th, the findings of the autopsy report were released to MCSO investigators. The report stated that the toddler's cause of death was hyperthermia with a contributing factor of bronchiolitis, and it was ruled an accident, according to the affidavit. MCSO received Ward's blood analysis report July 12th, and it confirmed she had amphetamine and methamphetamine in her system. Department of Family and Protective Services joins efforts to locate Cordarius family by Mercedes Cordero. The Texas Department of Family and Protective Services has joined the Midland Police Department in the efforts to locate the family of Cordarius, a nonverbal teenage boy who was found in Midland earlier this year. Cordarius was found January 29th at about 2:10 p.m. at the intersection of Ward and Shandon after Midland Police Department officers were dispatched in reference to a check person request. Officers located Cordarius walking alone in the alley. He is believed to be 15 to 20 years old, according to DFPS. Cordarius was ordered into state custody by Child Protection Court Judge Ellen Griffith and is placed in a home that is meeting his unique needs, according to DFPS. MPD reported August 3rd that Cordarius is currently attending school, where he is benefiting from various services, including speech, physical, and occupational therapy. He is making incredible strides in his unique way. In early February, MPD detectives and crime scene unit collected DNA and fingerprints from Cordarius to find possible relatives. By Thursday, detectives had not received DNA matches to any relatives. Anyone with information about Cordarius' identity or that of his parents or guardians is asked to contact the Department of Family and Protective Services, 432-248-5963, or submit a tip to the Midland Police Department through pdtips@midlandtexas.gov or call 432-214-8765. Life tributes, obituaries for Wednesday, August 9th. James Frederick Burford. James Frederick Burford passed away August 4th, reuniting with his wife, Nancy Ellen Burford. He was born on the Burford family farm in southeast Kansas, July 23rd, 1927, to parents Francis Glenn and Ruth Day Burford. He married his wife, Nancy, in 1951, and they soon had three children. Jim moved to Burney in 2017 to be closer for family. He is survived by his children, James, Laura, and Doug, wife Kristen, and five grandchildren, a nephew, sister-in-law Judy Allen, and several cousins and nieces and nephews. A family celebration of the life of James Frederick Burford will be held at a future date. Enrique Martinez Esquivel. Enrique Martinez Esquivel, 72, of Midland, passed away August 4th. Viewing will be Tuesday, August 8th. Was held Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. with rosary at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass was held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 9th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial followed at Fairview Cemetery. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at ntsonline.net or the website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Patsy Ruth Brookshire. Patsy Ruth Brookshire, 81, passed away Friday, August 4th. She was born March 12th, 1942, to Hazel Hart Key and Silas Key in Caddo, Oklahoma. She moved to Midland in 1978. She married Don Brookshire in 1994. She is survived by her husband, Don Brookshire of Midland, daughter Susie Lindley of Ingleside, Texas, daughter Kim Bryan of Stanton, daughter Lisa Morgan and husband Frank of Sanger, bonus daughter Trina Falcon and husband Charlie Falcon of Andrews, and bonus son Robert Brookshire and wife Leanne of Austin. Together with her husband, they share 16 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, one new great-great-granddaughter, and many nieces, nephews, and family. She is preceded in death by her parents, Silas and Hazel Key, sisters Bobby Jo Key of Midland, Doris Miller and husband Don of Midland, Anita Diamond of Midland, and her daughter Rebecca Lynn Field. Visitation was held Monday, August 7th at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside service was held Tuesday, August 8th at Evergreen Cemetery in Stanton, officiated by her grandson, Matthew Ruiz. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Felix G. Olivas. Felix G. Olivas, 55, of Midland, passed away July 25th. Cremation services have been arranged. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asancheztfh.com. Jimmy Bustillos. Jimmy Bustillos, 41, of Midland, passed away Sunday, July 30th in Midland. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. August 11th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Ruby Cresswell. Ruby Cresswell, 75, of Midland, passed away August 7th. A service will be held at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Sarah Gutierrez. Sarah Gutierrez, 19, passed away August 3rd in Lubbock. A visitation was held August 7th with cremation services to follow. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asancheztfh.com. Danny Ray Wagoner, 67, of Midland, passed away August 7th. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 12th, at St. John's Episcopal Church in Odessa. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Dear Abby, diminishing sex life calls for increased communication. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I are in our late 20s and have been together 6 years. He's a great boyfriend and I'm happy in every way except one. Since we moved in together a year and a half ago, our sex life has dwindled down to practically zero. Sometimes we go months without it. We are busy with work and school, but I'm not sure if that's just an excuse. I know it's partly my fault because I should also take the initiative and not be lazy. I am wondering if we're just not right for each other. Aren't the 20s supposed to be a time of sexual fun and frequency? Or does it even matter? Maybe we're just different from the norm? Confounded in Canada. Dear Confounded, if you haven't been talking with your boyfriend about this, you should be. At your age, it is unusual for partners to go for months at a time without having sex. Perhaps before you moved in together, sex was sexier because you weren't together as often. But the bottom line is, if you're not happy with the relationship as it is, it needs to be brought out in the open. Dear Abby, I'm a 20-year-old female in a situationship with a 46-year-old married man. He tells me he's going to leave his wife when his daughter graduates, which is in 2 months. He wants to move me to his state, but my family isn't supportive, so I would like an outside opinion. Contemplating in Florida. Dear Contemplating, how long have you and this 46-year-old man been romantically involved? I have concerns on several levels about what you are contemplating. First is the age difference and the balance of power in your relationship. Next is the fact that he hasn't yet left his family or even filed for divorce. Many men promise to leave their wives, but never do. Divorces can drag out for years if they are contested, and his marriage has been a long one. Slow this relationship down. I urge you not to move until he's free to marry, you have a job, and are able to support yourself and any children that could result from this union. Let your family get to know him. They have your best interests at heart, so resist the urge to tune them out in the name of love. Dear Abby, twice while visiting, my son and daughter-in-law have had arguments in front of me and their young children. The last one got so heated, my daughter-in-law even left the room and went outside. It upset me and their oldest child greatly. My son's father and I argued often, and we divorced long ago. They seem to think it's okay to do this. What can I do? Standing by in Texas. Dear Standing By, I hope you realize that what your son is doing is modeling the behavior he grew up with. Talk to your son. Explain how this is affecting his children. Then suggest he and his wife seek marriage counseling so his marriage won't end in divorce court, as yours did.
Hello, Wendy Kingston, reading the Odessa American. The title, Pfluger Legislation Allows Ranchers to Protect Their Livestock from Caracara Bird of Prey, by the Odessa American, dated August 7, 2023. Washington, D.C. U.S. Representative August Pfluger introduced legislation to allow producers to protect their livestock from crested caracaras. Producers to protect their livestock from crested caracaras, a tropical black and white falcons that behave like vultures that are killing, injuring, and causing destruction to livestock. Representative Henry Qualler co-led the legislation, and it is supported by the American sheep industry and the Texas Sheep and Goat Raisers Association. In the past two decades, destructive caracara birds of prey have taken up residence throughout Texas and into Louisiana. Lamb producers in our district have seen a significant increase in the number of lambs killed by caracaras in recent years. Since these predators are protected, it is currently illegal for producers to kill one without prior authorization from the Department of Interior. We should not be protecting tropical birds of prey that are attacking American livestock. My legislation restores the ability of livestock producers to protect their herds from caracaras, Pfluger said in a news release. Texas Sheep and Goat Raisers Association President Rod Cott said the TSGRA supports this legislation and its effort to combat these invasive avian predators. Caracaras cause tremendous harm and significant loss to the sheep and goat industry in the United States. The American Sheep Industry Association, ASI, regularly receives reports of depredation on lambs from avian predators. Our partners in USDA Wildlife Services shares they have increasing complaints of lamb kills by birds. Often the caracaras are the predator. We applaud U.S. Representative August Pfluger's legislation to help mitigate this predator problem with authorization that sheep producers can caracaras to prevent death of lambs, American Sheep Industry President Brad Bonner said in the release. Despite being a predator invasive species, the crested caracara is currently a protected species under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, MBTA, which prohibits the take, including killing, capturing, selling, trading, and transport of protected migratory bird species without prior authorization by the Department of Interior, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Pfluger's legislation authorizes covered individuals to take, kill, capture, transport, or disperse, injure, or attempt to take a crested caracara that is causing or that the covered person has a reasonable belief that will cause the death of or injury or destruction to livestock. Covered individuals are defined within the legislation as a livestock producer or an employee of a livestock producer. Additionally, the legislation requires a covered individual to submit an annual report to USFWS regional offices documenting each take. The forms producers are required to fill out will be available on the FWS website within 180 days of the enactment of the legislation.
Texas WIC celebrates National Breastfeeding Month by Odessa American, August 9, 2023. August is National Breastfeeding Month, and Texas WIC is sharing resources to support moms and pregnant women to help meet their breastfeeding goals. From the start of your pregnancy through your child's fifth birthday, Texas WIC is here for you every step of the way, said Texas WIC Nutrition Education and Clinical Services Director Amanda Hovis. Pregnant women in Texas wanting nutrition advice, moms looking for breastfeeding support, and families with young children are encouraged to apply for WIC to help give their children a healthy start to life. The benefits of breastfeeding for both mom and baby last a lifetime. Breast milk has hundreds of ingredients and antibodies that help protect babies from illness and allergies. For moms, breastfeeding has been linked to lower rates of diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, and even certain cancers. Breastfeeding can be challenging sometimes, and Texas WIC has a free 24/7 lactation support line. Breastfeeding peer counselors, lactation consultants, and free nutrition and breastfeeding classes available to all Texas moms, regardless of whether they qualify for Texas WIC. Texas WIC also provides women who qualify with a free breast pump and pumping supplies. WIC benefits are provided at no cost to eligible pregnant women, breastfeeding moms, and families with children younger than 5. Anyone with children under the age of 5 can apply for WIC, including dads, foster parents, guardians, or grandparents. Moms-to-be can qualify for WIC as soon as they find out they're pregnant. WIC recently updated its income guidelines, allowing more families to participate. For more information to apply, visit texaswic.org/apply or call 1-800-942-3678. Tony says, applying for a Medicare supplement at the right time is essential. By guest contributor, August 9th, 2023. By Tony King. Dear Tony, I retired last June when my employer offered a great retirement package with 18 months of COBRA at no cost for me and my husband, John, which ends this December 31st. I am 62 and will not be enrolling in Medicare for a while. My husband, John, is 72, and he enrolled in Medicare Part B in June of 2022 when COBRA began because he was having heart surgery due to a heart attack. He enrolled in Medicare Part A in 2018. John needs help with applying for Medicare supplement, but he is being denied for health issues because he must answer underwriting questions. What is so complicated to apply for a Medicare supplement? What did we do wrong when I retired? Please explain what John's Medicare options are. Thanks, Sarah from Pearland, Texas. Hello, Sarah. I have good news for you and John because there is a Medicare supplement rule which can keep him from answering underwriting questions despite his heart issues. Sarah, since John will be losing his COBRA benefits, he qualifies for the 63-day guaranteed issue period to apply for Medicare supplement / Medigap plan without medical underwriting. With guaranteed issue, an insurance company must sell you a Medigap / Medicare supplement policy. You have the right to buy Medigap Medicare supplement plan A, B, C, F, G, K, or L that's sold in your state by any insurance company. John is not eligible for plan G, but is eligible for Medicare plan F or C with guaranteed issue rights since his Medicare Part A began in 2018. Plans F and C are only available to those who are eligible to Part A prior to January 1, 2020. Those who Medicare Part A began after January 1, 2020 are eligible for Plan G, not Plan F or C, for a guaranteed issue plan. There are only 63 days to apply for a Medicare supplement / Medigap from the date the coverage ends with a copy of the termination letter attached to the application to be approved. Do not delay enrolling on time. Covers all pre-existing health conditions. Cannot charge you more for a Medicare supplement / Medigap policy, regardless of past or present health problems. When you and John attended the Zoom, Tony says, personalized Medicare consultation, I could see the relief on both of your faces when I was able to design a plan to meet your financial needs. John's prescriptions for his heart issues were expensive, and he could wait to enroll in a Medicare Part D plan to begin in January 1, 2024, since his COBRA would end December 31st. John has time to discover if there are any generics that can be substituted for the brand name medications that he now has an affordable copay for. Sarah, you have 3 years to wait to enroll in Medicare and will need an under 65 health insurance plan to meet your needs. America does not realize that enrolling in Medicare Part B is as valuable as gold and should be treated with kid gloves. With Medicare, it's what you don't know that will hurt you. Need Medicare help? Call the Tony Says Medicare hotline at 832-519-8664 or email info@tonysays.com for assistance. Tony's books are available at tonysays.com.
Hello, this is Wendy Kingston reading from the Odessa American.
The title is Murray Takes Bond Questions at Town Hall by Ruth Campbell, dated August 7th, 2023. Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray presented the priorities for a potential $427,155,000 bond at a town hall meeting at Buddy West Elementary School Monday. Murray ran through the priorities and asked people for their views. Board members Wayne Woodall and Delma Abuelos, along with President Chris Stanley, were in attendance. State Rep. Brooks Landgraf, a Republican Odessa, was also on hand. Residents voiced their preference that Western Ector County be the site of a new proposed transportation hub and that special education be addressed. There was also a question about whether the new middle school would be comprehensive or specialized and safety concerns about the ramp at Ratliff Stadium. The bond committee first worked with $396 million, but that number rose to $427 million. The committee's first priority, according to the ECISD website, was no tax increase. Through good financial stewardship, ECISD officials anticipate the district can take on an additional $427 million of bonds without having to increase the tax rate. Since 2020, ECISD has made a series of early payments on existing bonds, payments that have saved taxpayers $27 million in future interest payments. The district's bond rating has been upgraded, which will mean better interest rates on future bonds, and ECISD has earned a perfect score, A+, on the Financial Integrity Rating System of Texas, FIRST, from the Texas Education Agency for 3 years in a row. By paying off debt early, ECISD has created the capacity to absorb new bonds without increasing the tax rate, the website said. The board has until August 21st to call a bond. The items which would be separated into propositions would include a new career and technical center for $80 million. CTE would be used by ECISD students, but also adults for reskilling and upskilling. Part of it would be funded by the Permian Strategic Partnership. Murray said the amount PSP will contribute is not yet public, but they contributed $10 million to a similar facility in Hobbs, New Mexico. Murray said they have talked about putting this on the south side of the county for access as it will be used by students during the week and adults on nights and weekends for reskilling and upskilling in partnership with Odessa College. A new middle school for $120 million, there has been discussion of putting this in the western part of Ector County. Priority 1 items for $48.4 million. These are things that need to be taken care of right away. Priority 2 items for $72.7 million. These are things that can be done in 3 to 5 years at the most. Replacing the Transportation Department building and buying buses for $37.54 million. The building used to be the Ector County Airport hangar, and when they fix the buses, the mechanics have to take the air out of the tires to get them in the service bays, Murray said. Technology department needs $23.5 million. The district's phone system, for example, expires next year and needs to be replaced. Fine arts department needs $18.5 million. Athletics department needs $11.1 million. This includes lights, a concrete bleacher overlay at Ratliff Stadium, lights for the parking lot at Ratliff Stadium, and updating the restroom. Agricultural farm, $7.5 million. This would replace all the original buildings that are out there. Replacing the Transition Learning Center for $8 million. Murray said this does not meet all the district needs, but serves those 200 students on the farm. Murray noted that all the costs include furniture and fixtures. He said the district does not have land for the middle school or CTE facility. Once the properties are purchased, the locations would become public. Answering a question about maintenance, Murray said it was included in the 2012 bond and those items were completed, but maintenance is constant. Murray said maintenance and repair needs in ECISD for the next 10 years are $1.8 billion based on its facility review study. More than half the buildings in ECISD are 60 years old or older. Murray said Ector and Bonham Middle Schools are so old they need to be replaced. Sunil Mehta said the bond should cover all demographics, but not just some. Mehta was concerned about special education students and wondered if improvements to the program and facilities were in the bond. The transition living facility is for students 18 and older to teach them life skills. Murray said the funding for special education comes from the general fund and federal funds. CTE instructor Nat Armendariz, who was on the bond committee, said the proposal includes almost every aspect of ECISD. Armendariz said it's not perfect, but it's the best proposal they could put forth right now, knowing they will have to do this in the future. He said the bond would not raise taxes because of good financial stewardship by the district. That is a wonderful gift. It's for the students. It's for the community. The district has done their part, Armendariz said, and he asked for the support of those in attendance. Murray noted that the bond would not affect people's salaries, as that is paid out of the general fund. If the bond doesn't pass, he said they will have to figure out how to fix the maintenance issues out of the general fund. This will affect your salary, but not in a way you're hoping. We have to have the bond to fund this work because the general fund funds salaries, Murray said. Craig Stoker from Meals on Wheels said students have to be educated so we can continue to function as a community. Precinct 1 County Commissioner Mike Gardner said he hopes the district will continue these town hall meetings to educate people. If a bond is called by August 21st, Murray said the district and board members can start the information campaign.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.